Doe eerst goeie marrel. Pronto el pato de vestuario. La interpretación siempre negativa. Siempre negativa. Nunca positiva.
Hello, hello, welcome to Siempre Positivo on a Tuesday after Barcelona beat Valencia 4-2 at a wet Montjuïc week on Monday. Robert Lewandowski's hat-trick helping Xavi Hernandez's side move back into second place in La Liga ahead of Girona, who Barca travelled to on Saturday in the battle for the final Spanish Super Cup spot. I'm Sam Marsden, joined by both Rick Sharma and Tony Wanmati. A Rick Sharma who wasn't at Montjuïc last night because of the weather.
Yeah, it's true. To give a quick lowdown of what happened, the person in charge of the sort of seating of the journalists sent a message to, I assume, a bunch of us.
Whistles! Whistles for Rick Sharma for not going to Montjuïc
not
because
my fault.
Of weather.
I was...
The king, the lord,
do you know what?
Sharma.
I'm going to open
lord
up the chat
Sharma.
Now. I'm going to read you the exact chat because you'll see the effort I made to go. Hang on, let me find it. Here we go, Sandra.
They flooded his seat.
How is it possible? An English guy, because it's raining, is not moving from his home. An English guy. It's like if you don't like fish and chips, if you don't like
well,
rain.
Here we go. She said, it's in Catalan, so I'm not going to read it because I can't speak Catalan, so I'll probably do a terrible job at pronouncing it. But she said, in a general message, if anyone's not going to come to the game, please let us know. We have to reseat various writers from the press because of the rain. Because the space we have has a lot of water in it. And then she sent me a message and said, Rick, are you coming? So I replied to her and said, okay, yeah, like, I was coming. I'm planning to come. Unless, like, it's impossible. And she said, no, it's fine. We'll put you in another place. You decide. Because the place we got you in at the moment is inundated, or flooded. I said, yeah, I'll come then. And she said, okay, your new seat is number 38. I said, okay, thanks. And then at 7:20... and this is a 9 o'clock kickoff, 7:20, she said, right now, the press box is not in conditions. The water and the wind are filling up the tables. And even though the cleaning staff are there, cleaning continuously, every 3 minutes, it's flooded again. So instead, we'll have workrooms available. And I was like, well, if I have to sit in a workroom and watch a game on a TV in the workroom, I might as well watch it from home.
The thing was, it wasn't actually that bad in the end. It was the rain eased up on the walk up there. And during the game, I don't think it was actually raining. So it'd probably been all right in the end.
Yeah, I was thinking that because on TV it didn't look too wet. And I thought, well, if they wiped all the water off and then it stopped raining, it probably would have been fine, yeah?
Yeah, it was all right in the end. It was quite bad getting there. But then, yeah, once the game got closer and started, I think it remained fairly dry. Tony, how are you?
Good evening. Fine. Nothing special. I'll go running after this pod, trying to be a little bit fit. So apart from this, not big, nothing special. Just as I said on the last pod, waiting this season to finish, and it's painful to see that Madrid is now at the time this pod is being recorded, it's only 1 hour remaining for the game of Champions League. So I'm not really willing to talk about football much a lot because, you know, my head has already said to me football for this season is over. So apart from covering the games and because it's my job and I need to pay bills, and I don't like to talk a lot about football. I'm focused already in Mercato area and already ready for what's going to come in terms of transfers and all these things. But what is regarding football and standings, it's disappointing. But well, let's try to analyze what happened against Valencia, yes?
Yeah, you're in the right place then, surely, a football podcast. Barcelona still have some objectives, Xavi pointing out before Monday's game against Valencia, despite being a long way back from Real Madrid in La Liga. They still want to finish second. They still want to finish above Girona and get that final Spanish Super Cup spot, which is obviously worth a few million euros to them. They are now qualified for next season's Champions League. Not that it was ever really in doubt in the last few months. But the 4-2 win against Valencia did seal that spot in the Champions League next season. The night started well. Fermín López with the go-ahead goal, a brilliant header from a brilliant Rafinha cross. But Barcelona found themselves in trouble every time Valencia punted it long. Pau Cubarsí and Araujo, not so much them because they were exposed against fast players running in behind, but Barca allowed Valencia that out, that option, far too often. And both their goals came from those sorts of situations. The first one from a Marc-André Ter Stegen mistake, who actually made it out to the long ball and tried to, I think he was trying to beat Hugo Dulo, but he was caught on the ball by Hugo Dulo, who had a tap-in, big mistake by Ter Stegen. The second goal, also a mistake from Araujo, who slid in to give away a penalty, which was converted by Pepelu, or Penelu, as Rick likes to call him. But then a mistake of Valencia's own let Barca back into the game before half-time. Goalkeeper Georgi Mamardashvili with a stray touch from a back pass with Lamine Yamal hunting him down, and Lamine Yamal got the touch on the ball to go around him, and he handled it. The biggest surprise was how long it took for the referee and VAR to give the red card, because I often miss a lot of things from where I'm sat in the ground and you're looking for replays or waiting for replays, because that was at the other end to where I'm sat. But even I, from the off, I saw it and I thought that was a handball, which was rare. Videos obviously confirmed that. It was even shown on the screens in the ground and the fans were like, "Ah, it's definite red." I guess it's normal because it was Barca, but the ref still took a while to give it. But Mamardashvili really was sent off, leaving Valencia with 10 and a one-goal lead to defend in the second half. But as Javi pointed out after the Paris Saint-Germain game, 11 against 10 in modern-day football is practically impossible. So Barca were guaranteed to come back and win the game. Lewandowski drew them level with a header from a corner. Shouts for a interfering offside from Fermín López not given. There was then a brilliant interception challenge from Pedri sprinting back to stop Valencia making it 3-2 before Lewandowski added the third with a header just in the final 10 minutes. And then Lewandowski sealed the win with his hat-trick with a free kick to take his tally 4 goals in La Liga to 16, 23 in all competitions and give Barcelona the 3 points. So yeah, I was happy it was an entertaining game because even though it was a low crowd of 30,000, they had the kickoff shifted from Saturday at 2 till Monday at 9 and then had the displeasure of the absolute pouring rain and horrible conditions. So I was glad there was at least some sort of entertainment for the people that were present at the game. Rick, what did you make of it?
Yeah, it was fun. It was entertaining. I agree with Tony in that you can't really read a great deal into it. That I'm not willing to say anything really about whether, this shows that Barca's mentality is good or anything like that. You know, I don't know. It was just a bunch of players playing football I was going to say the rain, but it turned out not so much the rain, but in kind of wet conditions. And yeah, I mean, they just had a nice time, didn't they? Kicked the ball around, scored some goals, made some stupid mistakes, both teams, mainly the goalkeepers. And yeah, it was a fun match.
Yeah, I mean, it had it all. Errors, penalties, goals from free kicks, red cards, handballs, comebacks. A little bit of everything. Tony, were you able to enjoy it, or are you just beyond caring?
What does it mean, enjoy, for you?
Well, because from a neutral point of view, like, my dad watched the game and he was like, "Oh, that was quite a fun game to watch."
I enjoy winning. I'm a competitor, you know, and when there is a game that you are playing but there's nothing to win, I don't enjoy. So no. If you ask me if I enjoyed, I didn't enjoy. I mean,
why is there nothing to win? You don't think coming second is important? Imagine the banter if Barca finished below
I enjoyed a football game in general because I like football, but I didn't enjoy when Barca winning or Barca's game. No, I don't care. Being second, if it's the minimum. I mean, no. I'm already in the mid of June. My head. I'm already in June. I'm focused with transfers, Mercato, and all these things.
Tell us about Robert Lewandowski then, a hat trick. A couple of articles written by you about him today. 16 goals in La Liga. Could yet nuzzle himself back in the Pichichi race. Dovbik has 19. He's leading the way. 23 for the season. Obviously, there's constant stories linking him with moves away. He said he doesn't want to go. Is that a non-starter?
Well, let's see what happens at the end. We all know that the club needs to sell some players, but I don't think it's going to be the case of Lewandowski, because he made, again, a new statement with an interview in Bild yesterday saying that he will stay. I think he will stay 100%. You know, and at the end, it's funny because in the training session before the game against Valencia, Xavi tested him on a team where which it was supposed to be like not the starter team, but at the end he was a starter yesterday and he made a hat-trick, so it was like a un golpe encima de la mesa. How can you say in English?
Making a statement.
Well, it was like a statement with these three goals that he still is alive and can be very useful. Let's see what happens. I think he will stay. It's true that he's going to be 36 this summer. And it's true that in some parts of the season, especially the end of 2023, he was not in good shape. He scored 9 goals in the first 5 months of the competition, and in the second 4 months, he has already scored 14. So it proves that he has gone better. Also because for me there was a key point in the season of Robert Lewandowski. It was when Christensen started to play as a defensive midfielder, the team started to attack better with more pows, and also with Christensen as a pivot, Gundogan started to play close to the box, and with his quality and with the feeling that both have since they met each other in Dortmund, they have great feeling, great química. And we have seen, for example, Gundogan making the assist to Lewandowski in the game against Granada, in the game against Alaves, in the game against Atletico. So Gundogan playing close to the box has been top for has been great for Lewandowski to recover the self-confidence. And for me, the second half of the season of Lewandowski is more than decent. It's quite good. The problem is that, for sure, you conceded 4 goals against Paris Saint-Germain at home and you conceded 3 goals against Real Madrid. So even if you can agree or not, or you can rank him top or not, the problem of Barca this season has not been the attack. Not at all.
Rick, Tony says there's not much to be gleaned from these final games, and it's hard to disagree. But I mean, I still do think it's important to get a result against Girona, revenge, etc., seal that second place. But are there players, and I know players should never be judged just on 5 or 6 games, but like Lewandowski, who perhaps feels he still needs to, if not prove a point, at least boost his numbers. And I think a lot of the players' decisions will be made on, even if Xavi says, look, no decisions until the summer. But I think one who perhaps may get a little run of games now and may have still sort of a point to prove is Fermin Lopez as well.
Yeah, I think fair on Fermin. I think that's legitimate. Started yesterday, scored a lovely goal, a nice header. And I think he'll be wanting to show Xavi that next season he's going to be a piece of the midfield that you can count on, possibly even become a starter. You know, I've expressed my doubts in the past that he is sort of good enough to be a regular starter, or at least, I mean, maybe he could be in the same way that Pedro became a regular starter. He becomes the man for the dirty work, for example. So I think, yeah, important for him. I think there is, on Lewandowski, I, you know, it's not important really at all for him, but he will consider it a matter of pride to keep playing, keep scoring, and climb up the goal scoring chart. It's far from impossible that he becomes the Pichichi this season. I think he's 3 goals short of Dobvik as the top scorer. So if he outscores Dobvik at Montelivi next weekend, he'll be right in with a shout of being top scorer. And then the other ones up there are Bellingham, who's kind of gone off the boil a bit in terms of goals second half of the season, and Sorloth, who's plodding along, getting his goals. Other players that it could be important for, I mean, there's ones which are a little bit tenuous, like, for example, João Felix. I think they know everything there is to know about him, but if he came on yesterday, for example, and scored a couple of goals or played a key role in Barca coming back, then maybe he would start to get a little bit more sort of fan support. I don't think Barca fans are sort of huge on João Felix. Maybe that's an area where he could get some support in the last few weeks of the season. And then I think for some players, it's mainly trying not to get injured ahead of the Euros. Like, for example, Lamine Yamal. I mean, I'm sure he's happy to play any minutes he gets because he's still so young and enjoying himself. But, you know, he won't want to get injured ahead of Spain and the Euros this summer. And then possibly, for example, like Christensen can keep developing as a midfielder. And, you know, Pau Cubarsí is another one who's young, and any minutes he gets is going to be useful. And the only other player that I think could benefit from the last few games of the season, really, is Araujo, because he's had a bad season, and he was bad yesterday, and he made mistakes yesterday. I know he also had a hand in the eventual kind of winning goal, the third goal for Barca, because he challenged the keeper and won the ball. Lewandowski headed home from close range. But Araujo made mistakes yesterday as well. And I think any kind of improvement from him would be welcome.
Yeah, just back to Firmino. What I love about Firmino is I think he's obviously, lacking is not the word, but doesn't have the quality of, you know, Gundogan or Pedri or Frenkie in certain areas of midfield. But there's just no one in the Barca squad, you know, aside from Lewandowski, who's a striker, who just has that knack and that awareness to be in the right place or to get in the right positions to score goals, whether it's with his head, with his foot. He's got 8 goals this season, Tony pointed out on Twitter, which is a decent return for his minutes. I haven't got the breakdown per minutes, but there's definitely something to work with there. So it'll be interesting to see if he does get a run over these next few games, if he can keep those sort of numbers up. And just almost on the switch side, I hadn't thought about this before, I was just thinking out loud now, to Lamine Yamal. And not important for Barca, but perhaps these next sort of 5 games are important for Pedri. If not his hopes of going to the Euros, I presume if he gets through it fit, I presume De La Fuente will pick him. I've seen some people sort of suggesting perhaps he won't, perhaps he will. I presume if he comes through these games fit, but obviously he'll want to have good sensations before the Euros, and that will depend on how he does in these final games. Tony, one other thing, a football aspect to discuss of the game and of recent games is, are Barca good at corners?
Well, yes, according to the results, yes. I think Barca had scored. I saw the data. Wait.
According to the ESPN stats system we've got, they've scored 9 goals from corners, and I watched them all this morning. One of them, I've seen some people say 8, but I think it's because it sort of comes back out and Lamine puts it back in, but it counts as a corner goal. Look, 9 goals, but obviously there's also been a massive boost. There was one against Paris Saint-Germain, one against Madrid, I think one against Cadiz, two against Valencia, yeah, on Monday.
Yeah, it's 9 according from our mate from RACU, Jaume Molló. He said yesterday 9 goals in 200.
That's just La Liga, yeah.
9 goals in 289 corners. And in the first 245 corners, 4 goals. It means 1 goal for each 61 corners. In the last 35 corners, 5 goals. So 1 goal for each 7 corners. So 2-1 goal in 61 corners, in 1 goal in each 7 corners, in the last 5 games. So for sure you are taking credit in these kind of actions with Sergio Alegre, who is the guy of the staff who is working in this kind of actions. It's true that the shot of Gundogan and Rafinha is very good in this kind of action. Since he arrived in Barca, Rafinha is the one who hits the ball the most, the better. And also Gundogan, so it makes a lot. For example, you can see that Real Madrid is also a good team in corners because Toni Kroos is a jewel in this kind of actions. Even if for me, Barca has not really great headers in terms of goal. Yeah, Araujo not bad, Christensen not bad, and Lewandowski not bad. But I don't think Barca is especially good in terms of top players when it comes to scoring corners. So if you ask me if in 1 year we will still be saying that Barca is punishing opponents in corner kicks, I think we won't be talking about this, and we will remember this period as not luck, not good luck, but a little bit of casual, not part of the best skills of this team.
Javi was obviously asked about this after the game, and he said the strange thing is that they weren't scoring more from corners before, and the normal thing is that they are. So sort of the opposite viewpoint to you, which is obviously he has to say that and give the credit to Sergio Alegre, etc., his coach, who he singled out. But no, it is true, the deliveries from Gundogan and Rafinha have been really, really good in recent weeks. Tony, I just wanted to ask you about one other thing. I don't know if this has reached English Twitter, but I've seen a lot of local journalists very, very angry about the Mexican wave going around Montjuic with the score at 2-2 in the second half, that the fans are doing a Mexican wave, having lost the Liga, set for a trophy last season, and drawing with Valencia. Do you have a strong viewpoint on the Mexican wave?
What do you mean?
You know, the Mexican wave that fans do. Have you seen people arguing and commenting about it?
Ah, well, I have read a little bit of comments in social media, like like that. What's the trouble about? Like some part of the supporters are not in favor to this.
They're complaining because it happened in the 80th minute when Barca was still drawing 2-2 against 10-man Valencia the week after they'd lost the Clásico in the Champions League and get thrown away La Liga and European hopes.
In Catalan, we say one sentence is "qui no té feina, el gat pentina." It means, to make the literal translation in English, how do you say peinarse in English?
Comb your hair.
Comb?
Comb?
Pomb.
Comb, yeah.
Cone.
Yeah.
But how do you spell it? Cone or pone?
C-O-M-B.
Ah, comb. Comb your hair.
Comb, yeah.
Okay, so it means who has not work is combing the cat. It means that this kind of argument is because you are not busy in your day-to-day. I mean, is it well done or not? That I don't know. I probably, you can imagine that yesterday the stadium was full of tourists and some of them are not even real Barca fans and they just wanted to have fun, as it happens, for example, in the US tour, in the friendliest games in summer. For sure, if I was there as a supporter, I was not going to do the wave after the season. But because I'm very demanding. But if you go with your kids, is your first time in the stadium, as a family plan, I think that you want your people, your kid, your wife, your brother, your son, your uncle, your grandmother, your grandfather, to be happy and enjoy the plan. You don't give a fuck about the result. So I can also understand this. So at the end, football is for everybody, not for those only that they want his team to win. So for me, it's not a problem to do this. It's a problem those that criticize this being done.
I agree. I agree with Tony. I think people writing about it on Twitter, it made me laugh so much. Just like how serious, I understand how serious they're taking this whole thing. Like, what do they think people should do? They should go there. They should pay to go to the stadium and stand there and look sad because Barca have lost the league. Like, what do they actually want from people, the families going to the stadium who are paying for tickets?
No. Well, I think that some of them say that, yeah, there are ways to support and chant and stuff which are different to that. But yeah, a very reasonable response, Tony. Well done. Let's see if Rick's ratings are as reasonable.
To bring up the teams, have not prepared the ratings today. I quite like doing them off the cuff, though. Something freeing about it. Marc-Andre Ter Stegen, 4. I mean, terrible mistake for the Hugo Duro goal for Valencia. I mean, you can see what he's trying to do, but it just doesn't get anywhere near being able to do it. It looks like he's just hit the ball in the wrong place. Not sure. It's a complete lack of concentration, really, when he's doing it. Jules Koundé, 6. Araujo, also a 4. Mistake to give away the penalty, clear as day penalty from Araujo. And not that it was his fault, but he also couldn't chase back and get Duro in time in the first Valencia goal. Pau Cubarsí, 6. Joao Cancelo, 5. Andreas Christensen, it's hard to be that impressed with quite a lot of the players, actually. Christensen, 6. I'll give Gundogan 6.5. I'll give Fermín López, 7. The best player, probably. Oh, I mean, Lamine Yamal also a 7. He was quite good. Maybe not quite as good as some of his recent performances, but strong. Lewandowski hat trick, so it's very hard to not give him a 9 out of 10. Yeah, albeit some of the goals are quite simple. And Rafinha, we'll give him a 6.5. Again, good delivery, like you mentioned earlier. No one. I mean, I know some players came on fairly early off the bench, but
well, half time, Sergio Roberto and Inigo Martinez came on. I think it's quite. Well, I've obviously praised Cubarsí to the hilt this season. He's obviously an amazing talent, an amazing player. But I think it was his most difficult game. He struggled to deal with those balls over the top from Valencia. He was obviously taken off at half-time. I think 6 is probably quite generous for Cubarsí.
I wanted to ask Rick if, apart from not going to the stadium, he saw the game or not.
I did eat a bowl of chili during the first half while watching.
Because maybe you were cooking or you were, I don't know, on the phone with some friends or playing Poker Stars or something like this, because 6 to Cubarsí and 6 and 7 to Fermín. So Fermín, who was incredibly good, and the worst game of Cubarsí, full of mistakes, only 1 point of difference. So for you, it was the same game of Christensen without mistakes than Cubarsí with full of mistakes. Yellow card, mistake on the first action of Peter Federico, which almost goal, with the goal of the action of the penalty mistake together with Araujo. Same rating than Christensen, who didn't make any mistake, no?
I'll let you give Cubarsí the rating then. I agree, it's not... kind of like the fans in the stadium, or kind of like Marc-Andre Ter Stegen. It's hard to pay much attention to these kind of games when they just don't mean anything.
If Cancelo, who didn't make special mistakes, it's a 6, Cubarsí has to five. Be maximum five.
Give him a 5, because if he doesn't do anything in attack, he's not doing anything for me.
And Fermín, for me... A 7 is so shy to give him a 7, eh?
Yeah, good night for Fermín. Bad night for Cubarsí. Has to be acknowledged. Barca back in action on Saturday, away at Girona. Might not be a game that Tony's particularly looking forward to, but it could be a potentially significant game in terms of La Liga. If Real Madrid win before that game and Barca lose, Real Madrid will win the league this weekend. If Girona win, they will seal their spot in the Champions League next season. And of course, as we've mentioned, it's also a battle for second spot, with Barca and Girona both going for that last place in the Spanish Super Cup next season. Madrid will obviously already be there as La Liga winners, and the Copa del Rey finalists, Athletic Club and Mallorca, will also be there.
It's the minimum.
Rick, you're making a face. Is that to do with something I've said, or something to do you've got to do?
No, it's to do with a colleague of mine. He sent me the Real Madrid lineup and asked if they're playing 5-3-2. They're not.
I was worried that I'd said something wrong, that maybe Girona aren't about to qualify for Champions League and Madrid aren't about to win La Liga.
Guys, our season is over about football. Next spots will be doing as sports directors, who we want to stay, who we want to sell. I hope next spot we made the comment of Barca's game, last 5 games, but we should focus more in the most interesting story right now in Europe. A team with heart, a team with character, a team who is never surrendering, a team who is only 1 win away from avoiding relegation. We have to be on this boat, Vincent.
Yeah, and on that note, stay positive.